Good morning, everyone. Let's begin our service this morning by singing hymn number 123. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who to God for your refuge have fled. Hymn number 123. Imogene from Australia will now read a selection from the scriptures.
The Bible, Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and then repeat the Lord's Prayer together with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all, and all. Let's now sing hymn number 347. Though mountains may depart from thee, and hills be far removed, His kindness shall remain with thee, His covenant be proved. Hymn number 347.
Mountains may be high from thee, and hills be
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning service from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We're so glad that you have all joined us. Those of you who are attending via the internet from our website, those that are on our teleconference, as well as those on our YouTube and Vimeo channels, and of course, everyone who has joined us here in Plainfield in the auditorium of our beautiful church. Welcome one and all. At all of our services and meetings, we read from the King James Bible and from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. We have a wonderful outreach from our church, much of which is from our various websites. We have 21 altogether in different languages. And as a result, people from all over the globe have found one or more of our websites, have found our church, and have found God's comforting, healing word. And for this, we are most grateful. I would like to encourage everyone to browse through our websites because we have an amazing amount of wonderful material that we offer to the public. It's all free of charge, and it comes with the love of this church. And I'd like to point out a couple of items we're now featuring on the homepage of our English website. One of them being our most recent issue of our magazine, Love is the Liberator. And the theme of this issue is the Sixth Commandment. And then there's another article I'd like to point out, and it's entitled, A Christian's First Duty is to Maintain Our Own Peace. This article was written by the Reverend G.A. Kratzer. And if and when the disturbing influences come, the suggestions come, this article describes very clearly an appropriate response, and I highly recommend reading it. We start every Sunday here at 10 o'clock in the morning with our roundtable discussion, which is a type of training session in practical Christian Science. And then, as you are all with us this morning, we have our church service following our roundtable. And we also offer a Sunday school for children, which meets every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning. And our Sunday school has a teleconference, which enables students that don't live in the area to attend our Sunday school by telephone. What this means is that your child also can attend our Sunday school by telephone, regardless of where you live. So call up the church. We'd be happy to give you the phone number for the Sunday school, and the teachers there would be most happy to welcome your child. We also have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening, beginning at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear inspired readings and inspired testimonies by those that have been healed and helped by the study and practice of Christian Science. Again, welcome one and all. And now, Jeremy will read a testimony of healing from Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy, which testifies to the healing power of Christian Science.
4 years ago, I was healed by reading Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. The third day, one of my worst claims gave way. The book was full of light, and disease vanished as naturally as darkness gives place to light, although it was about 6 months before I was entirely healed. Seeing this truth in its purity showed me where to take my stand, and in defending it, I have the prince of this world to meet. Mortal mind has even called me crazy, but what a blessing to know the nothingness of that mind, and that divine principle governs all its ideas, and will place each where it belongs. If our master was persecuted, can his servants hope to escape? I know in some degree what Paul meant when he said he rejoiced in tribulations, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Many claims that have baffled the skills of the physicians have disappeared through my understanding of truth. What a blessing that we can break the bread of life to others and so add to our own crown of rejoicing. S.E.R., Kansas City, Missouri.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and the correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the words from our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon. A sermon that is not divorced from truth, that is not contaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and is authorized by Christ. Our lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 26 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Our subject for this morning is reality. The golden text is from Isaiah. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. The responsive reading is from Isaiah. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me.
That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else.
Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands?
I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded.
I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right.
Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Carol will now read.
I will read from the Bible. John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Mark. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, and take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Matthew, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Reality is spiritual, harmonious, immutable, immortal, divine, eternal. Nothing unspiritual can be real, harmonious, or eternal. Sin, sickness, and mortality are the suppositional antipodes of spirit and must be contradictions of reality. Spirit imparts the understanding which uplifts consciousness and leads into all truth. The psalmist saith, The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Spiritual sense is the discernment of spiritual good. Understanding is the line of demarcation between the real and unreal. Spiritual understanding unfolds mind, life, truth, and love, and demonstrates the divine sense, giving the spiritual proof of the universe in Christian Science. This understanding is not intellectual, is not the result of scholarly attainments. It is the reality of all things brought to light. Spirit, God, is heard when the senses are silent. The advent of Jesus of Nazareth marked the first century of the Christian era. But the Christ is without beginning of years or end of days. Throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ, as the spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to all prepared to receive Christ, truth. That he made himself equal with God was one of the Jewish accusations against him who planted Christianity on the foundation of spirit, who taught as he was inspired by the Father, and would recognize no life, intelligence, nor substance outside of God. In the scientific relation of God to man, we find that whatever blesses one blesses all, as Jesus showed with the loaves and the fishes, spirit, not matter, being the source of supply. Jesus loved little children because of their freedom from wrong and their receptiveness of right. While age is halting between two opinions or battling with false beliefs, youth makes easy and rapid strides towards truth. A little girl who had occasionally listened to my explanations badly wounded her finger. She seemed not to notice it. On being questioned about it, she answered ingenuously, "There is no sensation in matter." Bounding off with laughing eyes, she presently added, "Mama, my finger is not one bit sore." It might have been months or years before her parents would have laid aside their drugs or reached the mental height their little daughter so naturally attained. When infringing some supposed law, you say that there is danger. This fear is the danger and induces the physical effects. We cannot, in reality, suffer from breaking anything except a moral or spiritual law. The so-called laws of mortal belief are destroyed by the understanding that soul is immortal, and that mortal mind cannot legislate the times, periods, and types of disease with which mortals die. God is the lawmaker, but he is not the author of barbarous codes. In infinite life and love, there is no sickness, sin, nor death. And the scriptures declare that we live, move, and have our being in the infinite God. Let us banish sickness as an outlaw and abide by the rule of perpetual harmony, God's law. It is man's moral right to annul an unjust sentence, a sentence never inflicted by divine authority. Christ Jesus overruled the error which would impose penalties for transgressions of the physical laws of health. He annulled supposed laws of matter, opposed to the harmonies of spirit, lacking divine authority, and having only human approval for their sanction. In proportion as matter loses to human sense all entity as man, in that proportion does man become its master. He enters into a diviner sense of the facts and comprehends the theology of Jesus as demonstrated in healing the sick, raising the dead, and walking over the wave. All these deeds manifested Jesus' control over the belief that matter is substance, that it can be the arbiter of life or the constructor of any form of existence. The fact that the Christ or truth overcame and still overcomes death proves the King of Terrors to be but a mortal belief or error, which truth destroys with the spiritual evidences of life. And this shows that what appears to the senses to be death is but a mortal illusion. For to the real man and the real universe, there is no death process. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for sinful beliefs to enter the kingdom of heaven, eternal harmony. To hold yourself superior to sin, because God made you superior to it and governs man, is true wisdom. To fear sin is to misunderstand the power of love and the divine science of being in man's relation to God. To doubt his government and distrust his omnipotent care. To hold yourself superior to sickness and death is equally wise and is in accordance with divine science. To fear them is impossible when you fully apprehend God and know that they are no part of his creation. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 37. City of God, how broad and far outspread thy walls sublime. The true thy chartered free men are of every age and clime. Hymn number 37.
City of God, out there. For out there is within mind. So then what is this terrible foe? Tell me, how have I come to know something that can't be known? Brick by brick, imaginings, I'm alone with my own being and the reality of things.
Alone, but not a solitary being.
For insofar as all creation
Let's now sing hymn number 206. O God, our Father, Mother, Love, purge thou our hearts from sin, that in thy radiancy divine we may with eyes undimmed define thy will reality. Hymn number 206.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Amen.